Welcome to the Iron Self Podcast, where we jump into health, fitness, mindset, and becoming the best version of yourself. Today with your hosts, Mike and Kayla Minion. Hey guys, welcome to Rosebud Thorn. Today we are going over the Rosebud Thorns from May 5th to May 10th.
All right, let's start out.
So roses are what's going well for you right now. Buds are what's coming along. And thorns, or for lack of a better way of what is a pain in your ass.
Right now, my biggest rose is this weather.
Right? It's beautiful, sunny. What's a thorn for you? Chores?
Chores.
Chores that we have
all to the chores,
to
yeah.
This weekend.
And to do all the gardening. Oh, it's going to be exciting.
And what is your bud? What's coming
along? Stalker. Hopefully my legs aren't sore for like 6 days after soccer this time.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, in case you guys don't know, we did start playing co-ed
adult league soccer.
Adult soccer, so here we are. Tomorrow night, right? Okay, so the very first Rosebud Thorn we got from Michelle. Michelle says, Rose, exercising, I think I'm getting stronger. I know you're getting stronger. That's kind of fun. But just focus on staying positive and off the scale. I love that. I got a couple clients right now that weigh themselves more than once a day. So the more we can stay off the scale, I think the better.
Yeah.
For everybody.
And again, the biggest thing with the scale is realistically, you know, give it a week, give it 2 weeks, give it some time in between when we're weighing ourselves. We get hyper fixated on the number on the scale. And the reality is any given day, our weight will fluctuate. So when we start to get a little obsessive on the scale and step onto it, don't get me wrong, I've been there too. When we were going to stage, I'm like, oh, where's my weight right now? And I'm like, oh, I have to remind myself too that I don't need to weigh every day.
Mm-hmm. Thorn, I struggle with bedtime snacking. I eat even healthy, then I feel guilty for eating right before bed. So, okay, let's talk about this, because the nighttime snacking has been a theme that I've gotten a lot of questions about this week. So the first thing is why are we snacking at nighttime? So is it that we didn't get enough food throughout the day? Is it habitual? It's just part of our nightly routine. It goes with the whatever thing we're doing right before bed, whether that's reading a book or watching TV, or maybe it's just something that you have a craving and you just want to satisfy that craving, or it's a part of how you relax and get that downtime with some dopamine and serotonin coming from the brain. So there, we need to understand the mechanism before we can start to tackle the behavior.
Yeah, for sure. I love where you went with that, because the first question I have for anybody when we are dealing with like that habitual nighttime snacking is, what does your dinner look like? What time are we having dinner, and how big are our portions at dinner? Because if we are still physically hungry as the night goes on, maybe we need to increase our portion sizes at dinner, be able to get a little bit more of that ischemic load, that weight in our stomach at dinner time, to be able to help with that snacking. The other thing could be the proximity too, because there are some people that have their dinner at 4:30 or 5 p.m. at night, and then we're not going to bed until 9 or 10. And that's a pretty long window to expect to be full, especially if we do have a smaller dinner. So looking at meal timings, when are we having our supper, and the size of that meal? How big are we eating before we are expecting to not feed again? And so those are two things to just kind of start to take into account.
The other thing that she mentioned in this is that I feel guilty eating right before bed. So regardless of whether it's healthy or not, I'm having those feelings of guilt. So guilt comes in when we feel like we're doing something bad or wrong. So the question for me around that would be, are you doing something bad or wrong? Is it bad to eat right before you go to bed? And the answer is not necessarily, right? Whether you eat those calories first thing in the morning, midday, or at the end of your day, at the end of the day, they're all the same calories. So is it necessarily bad to eat right before bed? Maybe not. Are you more likely to store those calories right before bed? Probably, but you also do most of your fat burning at nighttime too. So it's this like common mistake that we're burning our fat throughout the day, but really most of your fat loss comes in the nighttime too. So is it bad that I eat right before bed? Maybe it affects my sleep. Maybe it doesn't affect my sleep. I know for myself, we snack most nights before we go to bed. And I eat a late dinner. So I eat dinner anywhere from 7 to like 8:30 at night. And then I'm usually still snacking before I go to bed. part of it's routine and habit for me. And I have been trying to make a conscious effort of just eating smaller amounts of snacking. But when we start to let go of that guilt of, I am not doing something bad or wrong, I'm not throwing my goals out the window by doing this, maybe it's really important for my mental health. I know for myself, I like a little bit of load in my stomach to go to bed. I sleep better. So I think it depends on the person. There's so many questions I have for you, Michelle.
Yeah. And again, the biggest thing, so yes, if we eat calories right before bed, we are more likely, there is a bigger chance of us storing them. But the biggest thing that comes back to like why we always say not to eat right before bed, it can disrupt sleep patterns. But if you were someone like myself, it doesn't disrupt my sleep. If I eat before bed, I can fall right to sleep and it's no real issue for me. So looking at if sleep is something that we struggle with, then yeah, we want to be able to cut back that food right before bed, just because then we're not spending the first portion of our sleep in that digestive state, which allows us greater sleep throughout the night. So a couple of qualifying questions there. Definitely reach out, Michelle, and we can go over that with you.
Hey, Jessica says her rose. This week I've been busy, but I always make sure to do a scheduled run, even if it isn't for the scheduled miles. That's awesome. That's phenomenal. Bud, keeping up with that routine, every workout, I feel stronger.
Yeah.
And Thorn, time constraints. It would be much easier to just eat takeout, especially breakfast, but I do feel better when I eat my eggs and egg whites every day.
I get that 100%. And we've talked a lot about time and scheduling, and the reality is we all get the same 24 hours every single day. So if we are noticing that we're feeling a little crunched by time, that time inventory is one of the best things that we can do. Start seeing where we are losing time throughout a day or things that we can optimize. So for anybody who doesn't know what a time inventory is, it's literally just a piece of paper that has every half hour of the day written down from top to bottom. And every half hour on the half hour, just log what we're doing. Obviously, if we're in the middle of something, we're like swimming, we're not going to get out of the pool and write down still swimming. But just filling it out as best we can throughout the day, just to see where we are spending our time. And sometimes you'd be very surprised at what we get by the end of the day.
100%. The other thing that I was going to suggest here is that maybe like a little bit of meal prep in advance might be helpful. So like making some egg bites where you're literally just cracking an egg, some egg whites, and maybe like some veggies or back bacon or something like that into a muffin tin. And you can do a dozen of them and throw them in cook them and then throw them in the fridge. So they become grab and go. That might be a really good option for you, Jessica. The other thing that I would suggest is that if it's easier to grab takeout some days where, you know what, I just don't have time in my morning, then I would suggest that you look at what are some healthier takeout options. So start doing some research on that, because it's not that all fast food is bad. It's not necessarily that way, but what would fit into your goals that you could have as a grab and go option that you could stop, you know, on your way to work or out and about?
Yeah, there's actually some really good options there. We were going through the Starbucks drive-in a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at their breakfast sandwich mixes and their calorie breakdowns on them. And there's actually some very surprisingly decent ones in there. So they are out there. You just got to kind of look around. And we actually do have a lesson on eating healthy on the go. So just options for fast food restaurants that might be the healthier options.
Yeah. And I love that you're already aware that the Whole Foods are what make you feel better. So with that awareness in mind, I feel better when I eat this way. Maybe I'm willing to, you know, get up an extra 10 minutes early to make sure that I do eat this way so that I do have that feel good feeling going into my days.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Brittany's rose is her mindset, focusing on recovering from this illness. 100%. When we get sick and beat up, it is important to have that focus. So I love that. Her bud is nutrition is slowly getting back on track. Again, when we are sick, it is hard to eat on track, air quotes there. It is easy to grab for the easy things. So awesome job getting back on track. Thorn, I got pink eye after having a respiratory virus. Oh, come on. Feels like another setback to my routine. I'm feeling very defeated, like I'm failing this challenge, trying to stay positive and focusing on recovering. Okay, well, first things first, look at everything that we've written throughout this entire Rosebud Thorn. So I can tell you right now, you're not failing the challenge, because this challenge is all about creating a change in mindset that can help us create the change throughout the rest of our days and the rest of our lives. So we are already in that mindset, that shift of focus for you already is happening. So I'm loving that. I understand that when we see setbacks like illnesses coming through, it can be very, can really take the wind out of our sails. But again, focusing on what we can do, right? So again, starting to get nutrition back on track is a great thing, right? Starting to get that, that fuel back in your body, as well as taking the rest when it's needed, right? And this is something that I talk to all of our clients about is when we are sick, it isn't worth it to push through, right? There's some times where it's like, yeah, I just have a little bit of a cold. Sure, we can push through that. But when you are like full blown, we're actually sick, taking that time for recovery so that our body gets the recovery and the rest that it needs, so then we can come back back into routine. So it's very important.
We really look at that 1% better. So are you taking action that's 1% better than before? What is that 1%? Maybe my one thing that I'm going to focus on is my nutrition because I'm just so sick that I can't focus on anything else. Maybe I'm going to focus my nutrition, my mindset. Maybe my movement today is not necessarily a workout I've been given, but it's just simply getting up and, you know, vacuuming the floor. Like whatever it is that 1% that I'm willing to make that tiny change today, that is what we're looking for. That is progress. I'm not looking for catastrophic giant changes in your life where all of a sudden, like you completely revamped your whole life and I'm working out all of this and I was never doing this before. Like these changes come with progression overnight. And sometimes these moments where the body says it's time to rest are such a blessing because they give us time to reevaluate where we want to go, what we want to achieve, and how we choose to get there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jamie says, her Rose, getting nutrition on track, finally know what to aim for and start the road to get results. Bud, staying on course, got home workouts, have to modify a lot of lower body exercises due to my knee, which makes me feel like I'm cheating. Was doing different exercises and avoiding lunges and squats, etc. But my physio said not to avoid them and do what I can. It's hard because the pain comes so fast that I'm so hesitant on those moves, waiting for the pain to hit. That preemptive thought process around that. And then Thorn, eating enough. Yesterday I tried to eat more, but ended up high on carbs and low on fats and proteins. How do you track pasta? I know we should eat less, but do they or chronometer calculate before cooking or after? Okay. So most of the time in calorie macro trackers, they put pasta in as dry weight. Nobody eats pasta as dry weight. Okay. So one of the things I learned when I was doing meal prep was most pasta boxes, I think they say like per 1/4 of the box. And most of us are not eating 1/4 of the box. There might be some of you out there that are. So if with that in mind, a serving of pasta is about 1 cup or 1 1/4 cups would be half of a quarter. So when they say 1/4 of a serving, it is about 2.5 cups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I usually say I ate 1/8 of the box and I go with 1 1/4 cups of pasta for myself.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on your bud just a little bit there, Jamie. So seeing that, you know, obviously you're going through physio and there's an issue with the knee and all those fun things. So anytime you guys have any injuries or anything that we need to know about or help work around, definitely let us know, because again, we can help you with the workouts as far as finding modifications that will work for you and working with your body in the way that it moves. So definitely let us know. Now that I do know this, I'm going to be sending you another message just to kind of figure out exactly what I can do to help you the most here.
The other thing that I want to suggest is in these moves, like the lunges and the squats that you're not sure about your form or not sure about the pain, I'd love to see a video of you doing them. Ideally from the side, because it gives us a really good indicator what's going on, depth, those kinds of things. But then we can give you pointers and suggestions. Hey, maybe not to go so low, or, you know, maybe that knee needs to come back. Or there's other exercises that we can exchange them for that might be more beneficial to your progress right now. Mm-hmm. Because I don't love the idea of pushing through pain. I know that there's a really fine line between good pain and bad pain, but we never want to push through pain to create it being worse. And the fact that you're already anticipating that pain coming on tells me that maybe those aren't the best exercises for you. Mm-hmm. So definitely something that we want to have a greater conversation about. I think we addressed your thorn with the pasta and the serving size of that. It's okay to exchange carbohydrates for fats and fats for carbs. That's an okay place to sit. Most people tend to consume way more carbs than fats. And I know when I was calculating out your macros, we had a conversation about what you preferred and those kinds of things. So that's why your fats were a little bit higher. So that's okay that your carbs were higher one day and your fats were lower. That's an okay place to sit.
Yeah. And especially when we're just starting out on this, it doesn't have to be perfect, right? It's not like before we started working on this together, we were tracking macros. So let's give ourselves a little bit of grace. Let's kind of ease into this, because again, if we try and change everything right now, right here, the likelihood of us being able to stick to that change goes down. So let's just start to ease in and maybe just focus on the overall macros. And then we can start to break down the actual targets as we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tara's next. Tara's rose is getting more water in. Awesome. Her butt is everything. Went off the rails over the weekend.
You know what? I get it. You know, like we all have those moments where like shit hits the fan on the weekend or running all over Timbuktu.
Yeah. So busy lives.
I'm hearing that maybe your butt is this weekend is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Rolling through the weekend a little different. Love it. And her thorn is her Achilles is grumpy. So trying to work through that, but still do movement. Okay, so again, we're talking about another potential injury here. So again, is this something that we are willing to work through or that we can work through? Or is this something where our body's saying, hey, we need to rest and change the movement patterns we're doing? So getting really in tune with that body, starting to listen to what kind of pain. And like you said, it's just grumpy. So maybe it's not truly painful. Maybe it's just a little bit locked up or whatever it is right now. So seeing what extra stretches we can be doing, what other movements might help this Achilles feel a little bit better. So again, I think I'm going to reach out to you.
She sent us a video. I couldn't open it yesterday because it was in a Google Drive that I needed access to.
Send us that password.
But as soon as we get access to that Google Drive, I will take a look at that video, Tara.
Okay.
And thank you for doing that. So Willow says her rose, I got one workout in and a second is guaranteed. I'm on my way to putting myself first. I love that. But I'm working on preparing food for when I'm out instead of just going without food. That's a huge one. How many people do this? Like, this is a really big thing. Lots of people will just go without food rather than planning. And then Thorn, sometimes it feels like I'm running on a hamster wheel, not going anywhere. But this was my battle this week.
I actually love, I love reading that. And I love seeing your post from, I think it was today actually on Facebook, because it was about how far we've come. And it was about, you know, sometimes we don't notice the changes, but then when we see old pictures, we're like, holy crap, there has been a lot of change that's happened. So, I get that. And especially when we are on a long journey, right? When we are working on ourselves, when we are creating that new version of ourselves and it is taking the time because we're putting that much effort into it, it can feel like that, right? When we're tracking constantly, when we're always getting the workouts, when it's just days after days, after months, after week, like when it just keeps going, we can definitely feel like that hamster on a wheel. So again, bringing that thought process back to why we started this journey in the first place, right? Where we were when we started and being very real with ourselves with, you know, how far we've come because of that level of commitment that we've had, right? So then the question starts to become, am I willing to commit more to this? Am I willing to stay right where I am? Because if we keep going where we are and we keep progressing at the same speed, the same level that we are, we're going to keep getting results at roughly that same rate as long as we keep with our programming. Now, if we want to be able to push a little bit harder, a little bit faster, we can do that. But that also becomes a little bit more stress on the life because now we have to modify schedules. Now we have to fit more in potentially or be a little bit more tuned in. So kind of getting really, really real with ourselves on where we are in our journey, what we're willing to do and how far we've already come, right? Bringing that focus back to the changes that we have seen already, because celebrating those wins is very important over these longer journeys.
Yeah. The other piece of feeling like a hamster on a wheel going without going anywhere is that maybe this is a really wonderful time where I'm fine tuning the skills that I want to help me propel myself forward. So I'm fine tuning, like you said, I'm working on preparing food when I'm out rather than going without. That's a fine tuning skill. So I'm not a hamster on a wheel. I'm just perfecting optimizing my art so that I can get off this wheel and I can go across the floor, you know, like the progress is coming, and that's an okay place to be as long as we are making those tiny strides. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, I love that. Okay, Krista says, Rose, workouts have been going well and I'm actually starting to feel stronger. Amazing. Yeah. That's like the second or third person that said that. That's awesome. But I'm trying to focus on my form with my workouts, especially when it gets hard. I love that. Ooh. Form first is one of my biggest rules. And my thorn was literally a literal pain in my butt after my workouts this week, but no pain, no gain. So I'll deal with it and try to stretch it out.
Love it. Pain in the ass is that workout, but that just means that we're working those muscles. So awesome job there. Modalities of recovery we could talk about a little bit, but
so yeah, stretching sounds good. Stretching, start there.
Rolling. Yeah.
If the pain in your ass lasts more than 2 to 3 days, let me know.
Yeah.
We'll talk about recovery then.
All right. Next up is Melissa. Melissa's Rose. This was a hard week. Being brutally sick has truly kicked my butt. However, I stuck to what I could control and was still making healthy choices with my diet and listening to my body and actually taking a day to rest and recover.
Way to go.
Actually take a day off. That's impressive. Good job. Next was the bud, increasing workouts and purchased dumbbells, ankle weights, ab mat, and yoga mat to do simple movements at home in my living room when I don't have it in me to go to the gym or spin studio. That is awesome.
Wow. That's
supporting your journey. Yes. And thorn is being sick. Just when I was getting into a rhythm, this is a huge blow, but I'm trying to accept that it's life, take a couple of days to recover, and then just get back into it. 100%. And I love that. Mm-hmm. Right. Because again, when our body is telling us we need a rest, it's normally doing it for a reason, right? When we get sick, it's because we're run down. It's because there is that lowered immune system because of stress, because of everything that goes on in our days. So taking that time, allowing yourself that grace, that time to rest is so important. So I absolutely love that you're taking that time.
Bonnie says, her Rose, I thought my deadlift went well this week. It did. It went well. We know that. But my barbell bent over row is coming along. And one of the things we did was drop the weight and focus more on form. And that's come leaps and bounds. Thorn, the seated shoulder press continues to challenge me. I can only do part of the reps with the heavier weights, then have to move to the lighter weights to finish them. That's okay. So I think a lot of people feel like when it comes to progress, we need to just be able to do like the minimum amount of reps with the new dumbbells. And the reality is for a lot of smaller muscles like biceps, triceps, shoulders, any other muscles that you can think of, mainly?
Those are the main ones.
Those are the main ones. It sometimes is really helpful to get like 2 or 3 reps with the heavier weights and then finish off your set with, you know, 5 pounds less than that, just so that you are starting to overload the muscle. And that's an okay place to sit. More like a drop set, but also still getting greater time under tension and greater amount of tension for those muscles.
Yeah, the other portion that I would like to just throwing it out there for everybody, like I'm, you know, I know Bonnie's the one who wrote this question, but this could be applicable for everybody that's having a trouble getting their weights up. Looking at a rest time between sets, because a lot of people tend to, I'm going to use the term, run through their workouts, mm-hmm. right? We get away from that rest in between sets. Well, the reality is if we want to continue to progress through workouts, if we want to actually build that lean muscle, taking the rest in between your working sets is how we get the energy back in our muscle stores to be able to push again. So muscle bellies hold this magical compound in them called adenosine triphosphate. It is what tells your muscles to activate and do their job. Now, when we use our muscles, we actually run out of that. That's where we hit that fatigue point where we can't push anymore. Now, when we take time off in between sets, that actually regenerates within that muscle belly, so it allows us to push harder. So if we're not taking enough rest between our sets, that ATP CP does not come back up, and then it makes it a lot harder for us to push. Now, I'm not saying you can't grind through a couple reps, but that is typically where we kind of hit that wall and we're not able to push past. So making sure that we are taking enough rest in between our sets, in between our exercises, can help us be able to push through that.
100%. Anything written. Okay. Kyla says, Rose, food, I'm starting to not focus on it so much. I love that. Like the Rose is that I'm not so food focused. That's a really cool place to sit. But health, cold is improving. Yay, we're getting healthier.
Love it.
Thorn, exercise. This cold has definitely affected my lung capacity. Listen to your body. That is my biggest piece of advice. Listen to your body. Take it slowly. If it doesn't work for you, maybe it's just general movement.
Kyle, I'm going to actually send you a little bit of breath training that might be able to help you get some of that lung capacity back. So I will shoot you a message and send you a couple lessons on that that should be able to help you.
Taylor says, Rose, just counting the days to go to the barrel clinic. Bud, work and thorn, allergies are a pain in my butt right now. I agree, Taylor. I love springtime. I love all these buds that are coming out.
So does Claritin.
But my nose and eyes don't love them. And so I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. Get Claritin clear. Okay, next up we got Natalie. Natalie's Rose's eating movement has been off to a good start as well. That's awesome. Double dipping. Bud, more whole foods and reconnecting with my intentional eating to nourish and not just for survival. It helps me slow down and connect with how I feel while I'm eating and after, instead of inhaling and still feeling starving, but running from the next thing to the next. I get that. That busy life and just having to, I always joke around, Kayla eats like Kirby, right? Open your mouth, sucks it all back. So I get that. And I love that you're able to slow down and bring that intention back into your food.
That's the mindful awesome. Eating. Yeah.
Yeah. And Natalie's thorn is managing my stress loads with a new job starting, still working my current job, finishing schooling, starting a new certification, managing kids' extracurricular activities, quality family time, and actually trying to breathe. It's been very difficult to show up 100% in every aspect of my life the way I want to, but committing to movement every day is my non-negotiable most of the time. And I'm doing my best where I can with that.
I love that.
Yeah.
So maybe this is where we release a little bit of expectation and we surrender to what is, because it sounds like you got a lot going on. Mm. And this isn't the way life is always going to be. We have our ebbs and flows. So surrender to, okay, I am still working. I'm also choosing to take a new certification. And I really want to be present with my kids at their extracurricular activities and having that family time. What can I let go of right now? Mm-hmm. What is the least important? And it sounds like movement every day is non-negotiable for you. That is important. And that is that piece of putting your own life vest on first.
That's self-care.
And that self-care so that I can show up as a better person in all these other aspects of my life. So I would say, Natalie, as much as it feels like a thorn and maybe some overwhelm, it really does sound like a bud to me. It sounds like life is moving in the direction that you are wanting it to move in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, looking at what we say yes to, right? Now I know there's things that we don't really have the choice to say yes to. We all need to work. Anybody with kids, we need to be able to support them in the things that they do while creating that family life. I 100% get that, but starting to look at where your priorities are and where you want to put your focus and intention and attention becomes important as our schedule gets full. So where might we be able to get some time back? Are we putting our focus and intention and attention where it needs to be? So just starting to get really clear on where you want to allow yourself that extra time or where you might be able to pull some extra time back from.
100%. Shania says her Rose eating clean. I love it. But I'm recovering from being sick, so I'm just getting back into my new workout routine. And Thorn, meal planning. I need to be more organized. So we've talked about meal planning, I feel like, every week for the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's not needing to be more organized. I'm the kind of meal planner where I take a protein source, because I'm a meat eater. I take a protein source out and I defrosted on the counter in the morning, and I spend the whole day mulling over in my head what I'm going to make with said protein source. And then I have a plan by the evening, and that's what I'm making.
Ish.
Ish. Yeah, it's always an ish because I like maybe this. Nah, I want this instead. But for me, that's how I meal plan because I used to be the meal mapper, the meal prepper. I would have everything ready to go Sunday night for the entirety of the week. And the reality was that wasn't the life I enjoyed. I would spend 4 or 5 hours on Sunday preparing my meals for the week, and maybe that saved me a tiny bit of time during the week, but I'm still putting aside all of this time for that meal mapping and prep, where I'm okay to cook most nights or to make a large quantity of food for several nights in a row and freeze some of it so that I have quick, easy grab go meals as well. Things that I like to cook in bulk are things like stew, always spaghetti sauce. I make a giant pot of spaghetti sauce so that we can have tons of leftovers because we know that spaghetti sauce is always better the second day. What are the other things that I like? I love pad thai, so to cook pad thai in bulk. What else do we cook in bulk?
Everything. We cook everything in bulk.
Yeah, I literally made fried rice at lunch yesterday in bulk.
The other portion of this meal planning is if you are somebody that feels more comfortable actually creating the meals and making sure that you know you have variety within your week. Maybe it's on the weekends when you do groceries or whenever it is that you are planning out your groceries. Looking at what we are planning to buy for the week, whether that's protein sources, carbohydrates, or the veg that goes with them, whatever that is, and then starting to kind of make, like Kayla was saying, like she mulls it over in the day. But if you do your groceries and you know you have X, Y, and Z for this week, starting to plan out those meals ahead of time. So again, even if you're not cooking at all, but just planning what you are going to have, because sometimes there is that bit of paralysis around, you know, there's so many options. I could do anything with this food. That's true. There's a million ways you can put things together. So then starting to map that out, maybe that just means, you know, with yourself, or maybe you have kids or family, whatever it is, maybe it's you're putting in the meals that you like, and we're just kind of picking through those more or less. So then there is the variety. There's a bit of a surprise with it, but it's all meals that you enjoy eating anyways.
And I'm a person that I love to cook. And prior to running two businesses and having three kids, one of the things I used to do is I would flip through my recipe book and I would flag the recipes that I would want to make. And once a week, I would open the recipes up and go, oh, okay, this is the one I'm going to make this week. So I would try one new recipe a week so that I was starting to add more variety to my plan.
Yeah, love it. All right, Ashley's rose this week is working out. I had some routine days, but I still made it. I had some out of routine days, but I still made the time to show up for myself. Awesome. Love that. Her bud was, I think I've narrowed down on how I want to achieve my goal. That is freaking exciting. And her thorn is sticking to my pre-planning for meals, especially on the weekend.
Yep. So weekends are hard because we're not in routine, or family and friends show up. Life throws us curveballs. So how do we stay on track on the weekend? And maybe this is coming back to my portions. Maybe I'm making sure that I have some specific rules for myself. Protein first, veggies first. Not that I can't have those carbohydrates, but maybe I'm going to fill up on carbs or carbs. I'm going to fill up on protein
I'll
and
fill up
veg.
on carbs.
I'm going to fill up on protein and veg first and then say yes to the carbs. Or maybe I'm going to let the carbs go so that I can have, a cider or a glass of wine. So starting to think about what am I willing to give up or change in order to be more on track on the weekends. Maybe on the weekends, I don't eat as big of meals as I eat through the week because I want to be able to snack more. So there's lots of things that we can look at adding into our weekends to help us stay on track. But I feel like everybody's weekend is very person specific. There's some people that are like really regimented in their weekends, and there's other people that are a little bit more lackadaisical on the weekend. So let's talk about your weekend specifically, and we'll create a plan together.
Yeah, love it. Okay, Christine's rose this week. Food was good until today. Forgot to eat my AM eggs. We'll have to eat when I get home for protein intake. Okay, that's okay.
Doesn't
Catch
matter
it.
when we get it in.
Yeah, playing catch up. That's okay. Get that food, my dear. Her bud this week was workouts, trying to get all of them in. 100%, I get that. I know it's we're about to get into some busy farm season here, so have fun seeding. Thorn, sluggish from weekend fun. I find my energy is slowly coming back through. or though.
Yeah, so I know in Christine's case, she had a little bit of a splurge this weekend with some friends, and she is now feeling it a little bit. And so this is actually a really wonderful place to sit. I know it's a thorn for you, but now it's a learning opportunity. Hey, how did that food and drink make my body feel? How did it affect my workouts? How did it affect my energy for the week to come? Mm-hmm. I've hit a point in my life where, you know, more than two glasses of wine affects me for 2 to 3 days.
She means bottles.
Yes, also more than 2 to 3 bottles also affects me for 2 to 3 days.
No, and I actually love that you have this, Christine, because it really brings out that conversation, right? Because for us, like, example for our family, Kayla and I are both celiac. Like, we can't eat wheat, right? So 2 out of 3 of our kids are the same. Now, we allow our children to make that decision, right? If they're going to a friend's birthday party, if they're going to do something, because it doesn't make them physically ill like it does for Kayla and I. Like, if Kayla and I eat gluten, we're screwed. It's a bad day. If the kids eat it, they get a little bit of digestive upset, but it's nothing too crazy. And my little guy gets a rash. So we always give them the option. We're like, we're not going to say no. You guys are welcome to eat whatever you want to, because you're going to your friends or birthday party or whatever. Just remember how it makes you feel, right? So this is that conversation that we have where it's okay. We know that if we eat these foods, if we eat, have these drinks, whatever it is, that it might make us feel a little bit sluggish. So is that something, is that enough pain from whatever it is that doesn't make you want to do it? If the answer is yes, okay, that's an easy choice. Maybe we're not enjoying that. Maybe we're not doing those things. If the answer is, well, it just gets me to feel a little bit sluggish the next day, then maybe it's okay. Maybe you make that compromise to involve that, to allow that. So again, having that conversation with yourself and saying, is this worth it? Right? Like, I've had other clients that were, didn't know they were allergic to dairy, and they had undiagnosed random pain all the time. It's like my knees, my back are always sore. Can't figure it out. Trained this person forever. Couldn't figure it out. Started to talk diet. Okay, well, let's track your food and we'll see where you get the most pain. Well, the days that the most pain was showing up were the days where you had a glass of milk, the days where you have more yogurt, the days where you have more cheese. Okay, let's take dairy out of the equation. Dairy's gone, pain is gone. So again, starting to notice the things in our diet that might make us feel sluggish, might make us feel pain, might make us feel different than good. and then starting to see if if it's worth it for us to still enjoy those foods. If the answer is no, then maybe we start cutting those things out. If the answer is, well, you know, it creates a little bit of discomfort, whatever, but I'm willing to do it because I enjoy those things, that's okay too. There's no judgment. It's just bringing that awareness to your body, realizing that there are certain foods, there are certain things that are going to make us feel a different way. So starting to pay attention to the cues you get from your body is very important.
Yeah, like, I like to use sugar as an example. I know the minute that my body has had sugar, I'm now going to crave sugar all freaking day long. And
she gets really farty.
It does increase my gas. No, but that's a true story.
I know.
Like, it does increase my gas. But then there is that factor that I also know that now tomorrow I'm going to have sugar cravings. Yep. And if I don't give in to those sugar cravings and I last another day, I'll be okay. But tomorrow is going to be really fucking hard to make it through the day without eating sugar, because everything in my body is going to scream that I need it.
Sugar.
So this is one of those things where we look at the patterns and how they begin to affect us. And sugar is one of those things that for my body that I really notice how it affects my body. Yeah. So that's why I made chocolate chip cookies last night.
Oh, that's why.
I was like up for a challenge this weekend.
Oh boy. All right. Susan, her rose is hitting the gym over 10,000 steps daily. Awesome job. Her butt is paying attention to food. That's awesome. I love that that's coming along. Thorn is time management and fitting in gym time, staying active and meal planning. Okay. So time management, again, we come back to where can we pull time back in our day? right? Fitting in gym time. I know you have a gym. I believe you have a gym at your work, right?
Yeah, she goes on her lunch hour.
Yeah. So fitting in gym time, maybe if the lunch hour isn't working because it's absolutely gorgeous out and you want to go for a walk and help get those steps in, that's okay. Maybe at the end of our workday, we are able to fit in 30 minutes of a workout. Maybe we're able to make that compromise with another time in our day, whether it's the start of the day or the end of our day, where we can fit that in. Or maybe we start looking at times where we're actually losing time, where we spend time just surfing through Facebook feeds or whatever it is that we might be able to pull back. So again, whenever people say time management, first question I ask is, have you done a time inventory? Mm-hmm. Have you actually taken an objective look at your day and where we could peel some time back? If the answer is no, that's where I always start. Because the best thing we can do is get very real with how we spend our time. The first time I did a time inventory, I was like, I don't waste time. Bah, what do you mean? Go and do a time inventory. I'm like, shit, I wasted 2 hours today. Mm-hmm. Like that's insanity. I could have spent that 2 hours much better, but because of routine habits and behaviors that I've always done and didn't realize, I was wasting 2 hours a day. So again, scraping that time back. Well, now I've just gained 2 hours of my day, right? That's a beautiful, that's like a superpower, being able to say, yeah, I got 2 hours back, right? So just, if you haven't done a time inventory, let's start there and then we can build from that.
Now, as for meal planning, I know that Sue, I know you live alone. And I know that when people have to cook for just themselves, and I've had to deal with this with a lot of clients, it's like, I don't really want to bother cooking a meal for just me.
It's easy to say, fuck it.
Yeah. So maybe this is where we look at a meal prep service. Or what is that one that gets delivered to your house? HelloFresh, where you cook, like maybe you get a 2 or 4 person meal and then you cook it and then you have leftovers. Maybe you start ordering a meal prep service where it's costing you between 10 and 15 bucks for a meal, but you don't have to think about it. It's already ready to go. And I'm not saying this for every meal, but maybe this is something where I only have to actually cook for myself 2 to 3 days a week. And outside of that, I know what I'm going to have. I can expect that. So it's less about the meal planning and it's more about expectations around the meals that I'm going to have, so that maybe the meal planning isn't the hard part. Maybe that's the super easy part. It's the execution of the meal plan that is the hard part for me. And if that's the case, where can I find little ways to skirt it a little bit so that I can make it effective for my life once I have the habit of eating the meals and eating nourishing foods and those kinds of things? Maybe then I look at, okay, well, I do want to cook more for myself, or I do want to execute this in a different way, but starting to build the foundation and then looking at optimization.
Yeah, love it.
All right, Emily, Rose, I was finally able to do a modified version of the leg climb sit up. Yay, I'm glad my video helped. But I wasn't as active this week because I came down with a cold. I allowed for some rest, but pushed myself to keep moving. You're like the 100th person in this.
Everybody's sick.
Everyone's sick, yeah.
I feel that.
Thorin, getting my kids to be active with me. So lead by example. Okay. My kids don't like to be active with me. In fact, they think we're lame.
they tell us we are too active.
Don't worry about the kids. Lead by example. The more you keep showing them what you're doing, the more they might just do it. One way to get your kids active is take them on a hike. You will spend the entire hike yelling and screaming at them, and it will be this wonderful, joyous experiment of them getting active.
Yeah. And then the other thing, getting kids to be active, what do they like doing?
Yeah.
Right? Do your kids love biking? Do they love playing soccer? Do they love going and playing frisbee or flying a kite or going swimming or whatever it is? But starting to get very creative at figuring out what the kids love to do and then trying to include those things every once in a while too, right? Because if it's just what we love to do, if I tell my kids, hey, we're just going to go and do workouts, like we're just going to go to the gym and lift weights,
they think it's boring.
They're going to be like, yeah, we do that and we'll go do some pull-ups and then we're bored within 10 seconds. If I tell my kids we're going for a bike ride, there's an entire day where we go for bike rides and we stop at parks and it's everything that they love doing. So they get so involved in it and they just love it. So starting to see what the kids love to do and then including those in your planning. So then the kids get active, but they're having a blast doing it.
100%. When I teach kids yoga, it is not at all like adult yoga.
Herding squirrels.
But we look at like creative movements. So what is a creative movement that the kids might do? Kids love imagination. So like maybe it's imagining they are something or bringing in something that they love and allowing them to be creative with that in a movement fashion. You know, how might you move this ball from this end of the room to that end of the room, you know, like a bear or whatever, but giving them the ability to be creative. Their version of getting active doesn't have to look the same as our version of getting active.
Mm-hmm. Nope, love it.
Cool. Okay, Michelle. Her Rose made meal prep yesterday for myself and Dee. Love that.
Woo!
Bud, swimming second day today after missing a whole week. I'm glad you're back at it. Thorn, nothing, just getting back on track and putting last week behind me.
I love that.
I love that, Michelle. Oh my goodness, I love that. That you're just flourishing.
100%. Casey, my man, Casey Rose, workouts are good. Bud, my strength and technique are coming back. Yes, working on flexibility every day. Thorn, my flexibility is my biggest struggle. My right knee and foot still bothering me, so I'm going to work on stretching this every day, seeing as the doctor says nothing is wrong with it. Okay, I know that we had that knee injury and that we were working back past that. So I love that you're able to get the stretching in, because I know for a while that was not even an option. Absolutely love that. Now, as far as the knee still bothering you, what are the modalities that we're using to help alleviate that pain? So stretching is one that's great. What about foam rolling? Have we thought about doing something like that? Or a TENS machine? This is a little shock machine that just zolts you.
If you go to physiotherapy, they're going to put heat or ice on you or a combination of the two. And they're going to put some version of a TENS machine on you, AKA electric shock therapy is what I like to call it. And it really does help the body retrain itself, learning the difference between contraction and relaxation, and also retraining the brain. Yeah, I know that's a real word. And retraining the brain around the pain response. So if you don't have a TENS machine of some sort, it doesn't have to be a Dr. Hose. Mine is not, because I'm too cheap for that.
There's a place here in Spruce Grove called Retail Revolt. We got ours for like
$40.
$40.
Yeah, but I would highly, highly recommend it if you're struggling with some sort of tight muscles and those kinds of things, because we, as much as stretching and massage might be beneficial, they don't necessarily keep the results long term. And so what are some other ways, other things that we can add in? And maybe even looking at our daily movement patterns, what are the repetitive movements that I'm doing that are affecting these muscles?
Yeah, and especially when we're looking at knees, looking at our movement patterns, and again, like when you're doing squats, when you're doing lunges, when we're doing things where we are in that knee flexion, what does your form look like?
What does his form look like when he's bent over hammering something because we know he's building?
Right. Or spending all day on your knees at work. Like there's a million things that kind of go into this. So starting to really pay attention to our body position in our everyday life and how we might be able to make it a little bit less on the body, make it a little bit less of a beating on the body.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Hey, Julia Rose, movement on days off, spin and long walks at Chicacoo, and nutrition.
Yeah, wait,
look at you go.
Not a girl.
Bud, again, didn't meal prep enough food for the week, but that's okay. I'll put it in after work since I do earlier shifts this week.
Nice.
Love that. You have a plan. Thorn, not much. I'm feeling pretty good, but I'd love to add more walks on my lunch breaks when possible. That doesn't sound like a thorn at all.
That sounds awesome.
I want to add more lunch break walks too.
I love that, because it gives you the idea of, you know, there's not much that's really a pain in the ass right now. So you're just saying you want to increase your daily movement, and that's fantastic. I absolutely love that, especially because we have this beautiful weather. Go out, enjoy the hell out.
Well, and she's looking for opportunity, right? That focusing on the positive and the good, the more we focus on the things that are going right and where we can keep making those improvements, the more we're going to see that in our life. So I love that positive outlook.
Yeah, 100%.
That one's not filled out.
That's it. That's it for the week.
Well, these ones were the late ones last week. Let's see. Did any of them actually? Okay. Darlene said, Rose, spin classes, bud, water intake, and thorn, staying away from sweets. I agree. Staying away from sweets is a thorn because it's hard. And our body biologically is looking for the most calorie dense option it can. Plus, sugar gives us a wonderful dopamine hit. It also gives us a wonderful energy crash. So it is hard. Now, looking at your life, am I willing to let that go? Is it something I like versus something I love? You know, am I willing to deal with the sugar cravings tomorrow because of that? Because know that that sugar is feeding your gut bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Got anything else to add to that?
If we are trying to curb our sweet tooth and we want to get away from it, we can have more natural versions of those sweet tooth items. So if we're starting to look at like fruits and berries and things like that, that will give us our fix of sweets and be a little bit of a healthier option. We could definitely look at doing that. What I would suggest is if we're having the fruit and the berries and things like that, we can always pair that up with a little bit of protein or a little bit of fat. So then it digests a little bit slower. So
healthy fats. Yeah.
So just starting to see what we could do. If sweets are something we really enjoy, what could we swap that is going to be a natural version of that sweet?
The reason why I might say this is that the natural versions of sweets, so the berries and those kinds of things, you're more likely to eat less of them than you are of, say, the chocolate chip cookies that are sitting on the counter, because there's something in you and from the food that just says, you know what, I've had enough. Yeah. Whereas with the chocolate chip cookies, you'll eat them and eat them and eat them, and you'll never feel like I've had enough because there's not that fiber component.
Nobody gets satiated yeah. from cookies.
One of the things I love to do if I'm really craving sweet is I will grab a dried date. Mm. One dried date is so freaking sweet, and it's like, I think that they're just delicious.
They're like 60 calories.
It's about 60 calories. They're almost all sugar. So they're still going to give you that giant sugar intake, but I only need one date versus needing a bunch of something.
Yep.
So that is something to look at. Jill says, Rose, not much, definitely eating better and less snacks. Love that. Her bud is cutting back on sugar. Love that as well. Thorn, time, as always for me, I'm in the busiest time for work, plus dealing with some family issues has made time for me next to impossible. I'm super behind on the challenge and readings, but planning to catch up this weekend.
So I want to start out just saying, as far as this program goes and saying that you're super behind on the challenge, I get that because there is a lot of information, and Kayla and I will not lie and say there isn't a lot. We gave you guys a ton of information.
We do that on purpose.
We do this with a lot of our programming, and the idea behind that is everybody learns a little bit differently. So what works for you as far as the lessons go might not work for somebody else. So we make sure that we kind of give variety and different options for the way that we learn here. Now, I don't want you to feel like you're behind in a program and like we have to catch up, especially on the workout side, I will say. If you want to catch up on the reading, for sure, because most days you have between 2 to 8 minutes of reading within this program. So if you have an extra hour on the weekend to catch up as far as the reading goes, 100%. But what I do want to say is you don't need to feel like you need to catch up on every workout. Let's just pick up where we are so that we don't feel overwhelmed. Because again, if we go from 0 days of per week of a workout, and now we're catching up 3 weeks of workouts. So it's like, oh, well, shit, I got to do 6 workouts in the next week. Does that feel feasible, right? I don't want you to feel overwhelmed by the amount of movement that you feel is required to catch up. So you want to catch up on the reading, 100%, go for it if you have that time available. If you would rather just pick up where the readings are now, by all means, you can do that too, right? This is a beautiful program because it is a cheaper program, cheaper option, where you can really kind of pick what you want from it and focus on the aspects of this program that you're looking to focus on most.
Also, it sounds like stress is really, really high in your life right now. So releasing some of the things that might be causing more stress, like the idea that I need to catch up on these workouts or that I need to do all of the readings. It sounds like you're doing a great job with eating better and less snacking and cutting back on sugar, and that you are focusing on that one thing that you can change that you do have control over. So again, it's not about changing everything. And this challenge, the Spring Into Fitness Challenge, isn't about changing everything. It's not about just doing the workouts or just focusing on the nutrition. It is about what is the small things that I can make changes on so that I see progress. So maybe I don't see progress on my push-ups at the end of the challenge, but I see progress on the scale. Or maybe I don't see progress in my jumping, but I'm able to really progress the cardiovascular because I've taken time to do those extra walks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding the small things that are lending way to the bigger outcome.
Yeah. You guys will hear Kayla and I say this all the time. We are all about creating sustainable habits. Again, it's never about like, let's just change everything at once. It's all about what can we integrate into our lives now that can create the most success long term. So it is those small habits. It is starting to cut back on the sugar. It is that little bit more focus on whole foods, because over time, consuming whole foods over processed foods creates a great amount of change. Over time, walking every day and creating that general movement is going to give us better results than sitting on the couch and eating potato chips or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. So again, the small sustainable habits is where we see change long term. And that's what we shoot for in every program we do.
Yeah. Well, and I was even thinking about like the 1% better for you and I. Like Mike and I sometimes will eat chips at nighttime because Mike's favorite thing in the world is chips.
They're the best.
And these last couple nights we switched to hummus and crackers.
So good.
And you know, it is that like way healthier? Not necessarily, but it's 1% better. And dill pickle hummus, if you haven't tried it.
Hot take.
Yeah, so good. So 1% better. Jen says, Rose, workouts are going well, feeling more confident in the gym. I love that. Bud, bedtime routine is improving. I missed my last night's yoga. I fell asleep with my daughter.
Daughter fell asleep.
That's okay. Thorn, eating habits in the evening. I know what I should be doing, but not 100% there yet. Still snacking at night. We talked about snacking at the beginning of this chat and how many variables there are located in that. The idea of that FOMO, am I missing out? Is it connection time? Is it downtime? Like there's so many things. So let's tackle the why and the mechanism, and then we'll start tackling the behavior. Because again, we are beings of emotion, and those emotions often drive our choices. So let's start tackling that first.
Yeah, love it. There you go.
And that's it. That's all. Woo! Sure. Well, we made it through all of the rosebud thorns and even the ones that came in late last week. So thank you guys for taking the time to listen, to check in with us. And we hope that you got some value out of today's call.
Yeah. Again, make sure you guys are getting these in every week so we can chat about this and we can give this value every week to you guys.
Yes. And without further ado, we will chat to you next week.
Have an awesome week, guys.
Bye for now.